Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome in. It is late on this Sunday night, too late on this Sunday night, but I'm glad you guys are up talking some winning baseball with me on this edition of the Rebel Report. Now, Ole Miss still has an inning to go, but you'll forgive me for starting early. They have an 11-run lead at the moment, so we're going to go ahead and chalk that up as a W, and Ole Miss facing a winner-take-all opportunity against Murray State tomorrow in a regional final with an opportunity to host a Super Regional. Ole Miss wins tomorrow. As you guys know, they're going to host a Super Regional because Duke went to Georgia and took that regional there. So a lot on the line coming up tomorrow. And barring something crazy in the ninth, which, you know, doesn't seem like there's going to be, about as perfect of an outcome pitching-wise as you could have gotten in Game 2 today against Murray State. So we're here to talk about it, all of that and more with you on this edition of the Rebel Report. I'm going to do this comments thing and see if this if you guys like it, again, in the bottom right corner. I just wish it were bigger. I need to figure out how to make that bigger. But in the meantime, I'm glad you guys are here. Appreciate you. Don't forget to subscribe. Wherever you get your podcast, just search for Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. And also right here on YouTube as well. And if you're not watching live, still leave a comment. I'd love to see them. I love to interact with you guys, even if you're not live with me. This edition and every edition is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. They're on Exit 40 in Brookhaven, but also online at toyotaofbrookhaven.com. You don't have to live in the area, southwest Mississippi, if you want to shop at Toyota of Brookhaven. The car buying experience is an important one. It's a stressful one. Ask me how I know. So you want to shop with somebody that's going to actually take care of you, and they will do that at Toyota of Brookhaven. Also, $1,000 on me, any in-stock new Toyota, $1,000 on me if you just tell them that I sent you. They've got one of the highest rated service departments in the state, any maker model. If you're in the area and need your car serviced, outstanding interest rates on, especially on the new Tundra as well. So check them out, Toyota of Brookhaven, exit 40, or online at toyotaofbrookhaven.com. They will deliver. Ole Miss batting in the top of the ninth right now. But real quick, let's go back to how they got to this point. They get what was a stressful 11-9 win over Georgia Tech. This team, for some reason, is having such a hard time getting out of the gate. I mean, obviously the errors are a big story, but Ole Miss earlier today, I mean, they give up 3 runs in the first. You have defensive issues again, and just could not get off the mat, couldn't get started. But the offense turned around and put up a 5 spot in the bottom of the first and kind of set the tone for that game. And that's been the thing that has kept this team alive. That's why they're in the spot that they're in right now. That's why they're going to have a chance on Monday for a winner-take-all game, is because the offense has really carried this team, even all the way back to Friday night. I know it wasn't the most beautiful performance, but when they score 6, 8, 11, and now 18 still batting runs, the offense has carried this team through some, frankly, really awful defensive play and less than stellar pitching as well. But they have just absolutely mashed the baseball. They did it in game one. They especially did it in game two as well. But I mean, if you're looking at this, so 14 hits, 11 runs scored on Georgia Tech. Unimark, Humphrey, and Smithwick all hit home runs. You had 3 guys with doubles, including Federico with a pair of them. Sanford had 2 hits. Hill had 2 hits. Furness had 2 hits. He's really, really, really locked in right now. Smithwick had 2 hits. Federico, as I mentioned, he had 3. And they were able to overcome Townsend's rough start, really rough start. You actually got a pair of really nice innings from Canny mixed in there. Only gave up one run on 3 hits and his 2 complete. McCausland, just 1 hit with 3 strikeouts and his 2 complete. So you did get a couple of nice relief outings mixed in with otherwise not ideal stuff. Mason Nichols pitched, so you know he's back. The velocity was still good, but he did give up a run in his inning and a third. We'll get back to this, of course. You'd think you'd be able to use him tomorrow, but still incredibly frustrating how poor they played defensively. You had a couple of errors from your shortstop, and made the necessary change to go to Randall in game two. That was something that absolutely just had to happen. They failed again to just field a bunt to first. They're really struggling with like the soft grounders to first. In this case, it was just a bunt. Struggled there. You even had there was a couple of should-haves that were not counted as errors, but plays that should have been made. There was one from Furness who, I mean, frankly, to be honest with you, I don't know how he didn't make the play. I don't know how he missed the ball, but led to, I think if I remember correctly, it was a double down the line, but definitely led to runs. Ole Miss defensively is just shooting themselves in the foot, and they did it again in game one, but did just enough offensively and got just enough from a couple of guys on the mound to overcome it. Game two today, the most important thing, it's not the 18 hits and the 18 runs. If it happened, I may have missed it. I don't remember. They have played clean defense today. And yes, they've given up 7 runs, but they didn't shoot themselves in the foot in this game. They actually just allowed their offense to carry them. They have not shot themselves in the foot. They've made Murray State work for it. And to their credit, this is a really Murray State's offensive approach. I mean, they just put so much pressure on these pitching staffs. Clearly, this is an impressive baseball team. But Ole Miss has made them work for it. And because they've made them work for it, 7 runs feels like it was tough to come by. And you've had, again, like I said before, about as perfect of a pitching situation as you can have here. And it's aided by the offense, right? Gunnar Dennis could probably not have gone 4 complete if not for Ole Miss just mashing the baseball, including back-to-back-to-back home runs, which was just awesome. But he gives up 6 earned runs in 4 complete. But then you got an excellent 3 2/3 from Rodriguez. Only gave up 1 run, did strike out 4, and that's a really difficult team to strike out. But 1 run in 3 2/3 is everything that you could have asked for from Rodriguez. And then Waters pitched and got that 1 out in the 8th. I assume he's going to come back out for the 9th. That was perfect. I mean, if you were asking for the best case scenario for Ole Miss winning this game, it's hitting the hell out of the baseball and getting all kinds of confidence with their offense, but more importantly, saving their bullpen. You didn't have to bring in guys that you know you're going to need tomorrow. That would be that would benefit from another day off, or at least a couple of them to use them for tomorrow. This was an ideal pitching situation. Outcome would be the better word for Ole Miss tonight. And they're set up in pretty good shape for tomorrow. But that's thanks in part to the offense. 18 hits for Ole Miss. Furness had a pair of home runs. Uermark had one. Humphrey had one. He was a single away from the cycle. Fawley had one as well. Again, 18 hits. Sanford had 3. Furness had 4. Humphrey had the 3 that I mentioned. Uermark actually struck out 3 times tonight, which is like the only negative spot for the offense tonight was that. Smithwick had he had a hit as well. Federico, I'm telling you, it looks really good. He just struck out here a second ago, but Fawley had a trio of RBI as well. Randall gets a couple of hits in place of Chang, and further confirming what a good move that was. So here they are. They have given themselves the opportunity that they have completely fought their way back into, again, a scenario that you would have taken, I think. Beat Murray State to go, not to go to the Super Regional, to host a Super Regional. That's it. A Murray State team that does not have a ton of pitching depth anyway, but you know, they've thrown a couple of guys late that they probably wouldn't use in high leverage situations, but their pitching staff is taxed, and go beat Murray State one time and you're hosting a Super Regional for the first time in quite some time in Oxford. So the offense is carrying them right now. Cleaner baseball tonight than the previous games going into it. A golden opportunity for them coming up tomorrow, and should be a very, very confident baseball team. going into tomorrow. In terms of pitching, I assume if this game wraps up in time and they get Bianco in the post game in time, we'll figure out what his pitching plan is. He's most certainly going to be asked, so we'll hang on and hopefully find out then. I think it's a no-brainer, though. I know what Murray State's splits are against lefties. Truly, I do. I would start Mason Morris tomorrow and let him take you as far as he can. I know he pitched the other night, but he should have enough gas in the tank to give you multiple innings, especially if he's able to be efficient. And then from there, it's all hands on deck, right? You pitched earlier today. McCausland, it was 30 pitches, though. I would assume that he's available to some degree. I would assume that Nichols is I don't know if he's 43 pitches today coming off of an injury. I don't know. But an opportunity could present itself for Riley Maddux to get some redemption for the other night. He should be able to give them at least a little bit of something tomorrow. 70 pitches on Friday should be able to give you something on a Monday as well. So, I think it's Morris, and then you go from there. Maybe Hooks, being a lefty, is going to be used pretty early, and Ole Miss is about to score their 19th run of the game. Just an offensive explosion like none other. And then you figure it out from there. So, look, it's been a really good day for them. Still not perfect, of course, but you're not looking for perfect. You're just looking for wins. And this offense against that taxed Murray State bullpen is one that I would feel very confident in. They should feel very confident as well. Can they get enough around that offense just in case it's not perfect right away to win that game? Should be a pretty lively environment. Should be a pretty confident team. And we'll see, of course, what they can do tomorrow. I have no idea what time that game would start. I assume we'll find out pretty early on, here in a little while, what time that game is going to start tomorrow. I assume that the radio show will be disrupted by the game at some point. If it's at 1 o'clock, hey, Dad, and I'll just kind of like be reacting to the last three innings live on the radio there for a little while. So. We will go live tomorrow night, regardless of result and regardless of game time. If it's at 1 o'clock, it'll just be a delayed reaction. And if it's at night, then we'll go live immediately after the game. So we'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. So if you're a Mississippi company and you need technology in the office, absms.com, that's the place to go. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. That's Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. Podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority. They got 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's likely one in your backyard. An outstanding online banking platform, so much better than my previous bank, to be honest with you. I couldn't stand their interface. Priority One Banks is really good. So check them out, Priority One Bank, because they make you their priority. Bank with me at Priority One Bank. All right, similar style tomorrow, do you think? I do. I do. You hope that because of what you can have available pitching-wise, or at least what's possibly available pitching-wise tomorrow, you can hold them to fewer than seven runs. But, man, this is just such a really good offensive team. Their approach is awesome. They spray it all over the yard. They've got power. They're patient. They punish you for mistakes. Ole Miss had a couple of two-out walks that immediately turned into runs. It's just a really impressive Murray State team. But, yeah, I do think that Ole Miss is going to have to score to win tomorrow as well, even with a bullpen that is more available. Is anyone having to mute the game because the announcers? I know that they have not been particularly popular this week. I know that. What has cracked me up more though is the graphic fails. So this one right here, this was just like an inning ago. The logo school name, when they were showing a highlight package of Rodriguez. And then they also tried to do like the conference pride thing with who's been eliminated, who hasn't, SEC-ACC comparison. And it was just factually inaccurate. They said that only one ACC team had been eliminated, and it was Georgia Tech. And it's like, well, that's not accurate at all. But, I mean, that's what they put on the graphics. So it's a tough job, especially when you're having to call as many games as they're calling, and it's four teams that you're having to learn quickly. But I do think they got a little obsessive over borderline calls. It's like, all right, guys, we get it. Okay. But like the one where Federico, they challenged it because they thought he leaned in, and the guy was suggesting that, well, it would be a strike because he leaned into the strike zone and like he didn't let the catcher catch the ball. And he kept trying to talk about that. No, that's not the rule. It's if you lean into it, if you lean out of your box into the ball, it's a strike. And Ole Miss got, I think, kind of a break there. A replay official could have interpreted that as leaning in. But, I mean, they were truly one down in the ninth for Murray State. They were kind of obsessing over it. But otherwise, they're fine. Announcers don't bother me. It's a difficult job for sure. Headed back to basic training in September. So when I get back, you're going to need all kinds of recaps. Goodness gracious, man. Well, first of all, thank you and congratulations. It's awesome, man. Be lying if you said you expected today's outcomes. I certainly didn't expect this. No, I did not expect them to be winning by 12 right now. But offensively, this team, they're just feeling it this weekend. They're absolutely feeling it. It's a team that, as we talked about going into the weekend, they struggled in Hoover, but not only was the pitching talent level there higher than what they're facing, that was a ballpark that's hard to hit home runs in. What I really like about today's 19 runs, though, is it's not all on the home runs. And yes, I know they had the back-to-back-to-back thing, but I mean, they've scattered now 19 hits, and five of them went over the fence, but that means they have 14 hits that did not go over the fence. They've been a little bit more patient tonight. At least I think they have. Maybe it's a product of who they were facing, but still, this was just a really impressive performance and an error, although they're not going to score that an error on first. See, that's the first defensive miscue of the night for Ole Miss, I think, right there. Furness misses one that, you know, probably should have, a play that probably should have been made, but considering the score is what it is, it doesn't matter. Any pitchers left for tomorrow? As many as you could hope for in a regional final coming out of the loser's bracket, yes. As many as you could hope for. Again, I think Mason Morris should be able to give you a lot tomorrow. I think that here, let me see. Let me see if I can get his actual pitch number. I think it was was it 50 the other night? I'm getting there. I'm kind of stalling a little bit. 54. It was 54 in the Friday game. He threw 54 pitches on Friday. He should absolutely be able to give you multiple innings at least on Monday. Absolutely should be able to do that. So he's there again. I think McCausland, although he pitched earlier today. Let me see his pitch count as well. 33 and 30. So he pitched Friday, and then of course earlier today he could give you something. Maybe not extended, but he can certainly pitch for you tomorrow. Maddox can give you something. on Ole Miss's the season. Hunter Elliott's listed as a redshirt junior. Any chance he comes back? I'm sure there's a chance. Problem is, you can lose your eligibility, or not eligibility, you can lose your leverage for next year's draft if you don't have any eligibility left. So it just kind of depends on what he wants to do. Considering he's already been injured, there's a chance that he just decides he wants to be a pro. But anyway, pitching has barely any zero-run innings, runners all over the bases. Yeah, some of that is because, as we're learning, they're playing against a really good offensive team. Also, their defense behind them has not helped them much. Now, I'm not saying that they've been good. Ball in the hole, and a great play from Randall at short. Or who is that at that point? Because I see Pano in the game. Yeah, that's still Randall. That was a good decision. What a great play there. Maybe the earlier game's a little less stressful if they make that move sooner, but defensively they have not helped them out at all either. So good offenses that they're facing. This one in particular is really good. Defense has been bad behind them. And then also they've struggled a bit as well. Finally caught you live. Much love to you and yours. Appreciate you, man. Thank you, Austin. Hope you and the little one are good. We're doing well. We're doing really well. Although he's under the weather, and now I'm starting to feel it right in here. So I'm a little concerned about what that means. They win the regional. It was won this afternoon. What a battle that was. Yeah, and that response early. I mean, I mentioned it before, but Georgia Tech puts up three in the first. Ole Miss goes five in the bottom of the first, another one in the second. Georgia Tech responds with five of their own, right? They get one in the third and then four in the fourth. Ole Miss gets two. Ole Miss just kept fighting back, and they just kept fighting back. And that Smithwick home run was absolutely massive. And, yeah, that was a mentally tough win. Scott texted from Fred that said, what on earth is he talking about? I have obviously have the game muted since I'm talking to you guys, but it's a long day for them too. So now Super Regional host is on the line. It's really all you could ask for, right? It's really all you could ask for. You get Murray State in a depleted Murray State bullpen at home to host a Super Regional. What more could you ask for? Austin with the super chat. Appreciate you, man. Thank you for that. I really appreciate you. Unrelated, Georgia Tech feels like a Big Ten school or a Big 12 school. What happens to them when the ACC eventually goes the way of the Pac-12? I don't know. I wonder if the Atlanta market helps them. I wonder if that helps them. But their AD just left for Michigan State today, too. So playing for not potentially, by the way, the first Super Regional in Oxford since 2009. Yeah, so Georgia's already been eliminated. So Ole Miss, if they're able to win tomorrow, and here's a little chopper to first. Oh, the batter looks like he fouled it off his foot. Okay, looked like he got hurt there. Duke's best player, by the way, got ejected from their regional winning game for having their home run prop is a construction helmet. He had it in his hand when he exited the dugout when another one of his teammates, I don't know if it was a home run or what, but he was holding the construction helmet in his hand and he took two steps out of the dugout. And the rule is you can't have props out of the dugout. He literally took two steps out of the dugout to high-five his teammate and was turning around to go back in, and the ump threw him out of the game. There's a base hit. That ball's going to go all the way to the gap. This Murray State offense, man, they're tough, too. They get a double, actually, out of that. So it's 19-8 with two out. So, but, yeah, their best hitter will not be available for game one of the Super Regional. It's complete BS is what it is. Total BS. Ole Miss and Southern Miss both win tomorrow. They both host Supers at the same time. I believe that's correct. It's got to be a first. Has to be. Murray State game has been fun, but hats off to Connor Spencer for closing against Georgia Tech. Yeah, I was curious about that decision as well. I thought that McCausland was awesome and did not think that you needed to go to Spencer, but I don't know what that means for his availability tomorrow. But, yeah. ESPN has gone downhill fast compared to what they were even 10 years ago, no doubt. Redemption shot for Riley tomorrow, and ball game. Ole Miss wins 19-8, the final, and they go to a regional final. That is, that was a good day. Just simply put, a very good day. So I assume we'll find out pretty quickly when Ole Miss is going to play tomorrow. All the graphics just say, see you tomorrow, see you Monday. With no time listed. So, very cool. But yeah, certainly could be. I mean, they might need him. Any chance at all we see Hunter tomorrow on essentially a 1.5 days rest? Doug did it in 21 against Southern. I mean, he pitched. He threw a lot of pitches yesterday. It depends on what they think. I mean, of course, breaking news, more to 11. It depends on what they think that he can actually do. But yeah, you have to consider it. If they think that he recovers well and he can give you three outs, then go get three outs. I mean, as long as you don't think that you can do permanent damage to him, right? If you, throughout the course of the season after starts, have evaluated him and 2 days later he's thrown a bullpen session and been comfortable, then yeah, if you need three outs from a lefty, go get three outs from a lefty with a guy like that. But how's Murray's bullpen looking? Oh gosh, if you wanted me to ask about, or if you wanted me to try to speak on, you know, what quality arms they have available for tomorrow, let's see. It was clear they were getting into some guys they don't usually throw today. But let's see. Give me just a second here. I'll be able to help you. All right. The guy that pitched against Ole Miss in game one, I assume, would not be available. Their ace, I mean, he threw 119 pitches, and it's not like he was all that particularly effective either. So I would assume he's out. Let's see. The guy that got the win over Georgia Tech, although, again, not particularly effective, gave up 5 runs, but he threw 84 pitches. That was their game two starter, I believe, Isaac Silva. So if he's available, it would be on a limited basis. Let's see. Their reliever with – so Derek LeBron, who pitched tonight – couldn't throw strikes at all. Here's a Kane Elmy, who is from Canton, Michigan. Shout out Canton in every state. Has not pitched in this regional? That can't be right. Sorry, this is the most uninformed. It's the most uninformed thing you could get, but I'm just going through as best I can for you. Reliever with the most appearances on the team, Graham Kellum. Pitched in the Ole Miss game, was good. Only gave up two hits and two complete. He did pitch yesterday. He threw 28 pitches against Ole Miss and 34 against Georgia Tech, only giving up one run and two hits, striking out four. 28 pitches, 34 pitches. He should be available for them tomorrow. That looks like, I mean, based on their numbers anyway, somebody that, again, he has their most appearances on the team. And although taxed a little bit, he should be available for them tomorrow. Second most appearances on the team, Dylan Zentko is his name. He's from Brazil, Indiana. I'm just sticking with names here. Also pitched yesterday, threw 50 pitches yesterday, and only gave up three hits and one run in two and two-thirds. I would assume he's available for them tomorrow as well. But, I mean, like these two guys, their numbers aren't particularly eye-popping. They are their two most experienced relievers when you look at it. But we're talking about a pair of guys with a whip. Zenko, who I just told you, has a whip of 1.54, and Graham has a 4.1 ERA with a whip over one as well. So it is not a particularly on paper impressive bullpen, and they've used them. But again, both of their most experienced relievers should be available to go tomorrow. So we'll see. We will see. Need Ole Miss minus 10.5. They win, you never want to hear anyone complain about Mike during the offseason. Got to give a hat tip to him. Yeah. Chang has been the Luke Logan of shortstops. Really, really, really struggled. You knew that he wasn't going to be particularly great at the plate anyway. But then when you get a bad offensive night paired with multiple errors, then you just simply cannot continue to play him when you have an option that clearly is better at the plate and then also looked sharp in the field tonight as well. So it was a good move. I mean, possibly even a game or a few innings late. And yeah. Man, what a monster hire for State. Now it looks like, I appreciate you, Hunter. You know I love you to death, man, but that is not what we're here to talk about. But we'll do a lot of that on the radio show for sure. Offense is masked. A pretty good night for Murray State. Have to be ready to battle tomorrow. Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. That is the Mercer fella. I think he's got another year of eligibility. You hope that there's some tampering going on, or at least there needs to be. Georgia Tech crying after almost every pitch those first few innings was getting very old. Yeah, and for a coach that's been in the game for so long, I mean, I know that you want to try everything to prolong your last season and all that, but for a guy that you would think would be old school, there was just a lot of fussing and whining in there, you know? College baseball is going to grow, then the broadcasts have to be better, and postseason needs to be on regular TV, not streaming. Yeah, it's like a chicken or the egg. That's probably not the best analogy, though, but they put it on streaming because people don't in mass watch college baseball. That's why it mostly stays on streaming. But are people not watching college baseball because it's hard to find? So which one is it? You know, why is it simply people, like, there's no demand, and so they put it on streaming because there is no demand? Or is there no demand because people, it's not forward-facing? People don't see it. Vanderbilt in Texas losing is crazy. Yeah, especially after Corbin mouthed off at a reporter when she asked just a basic, you know, what was wrong with the offense today question, and he no. And she's been on our radio show before. She's a very good reporter, and him saying what he did to her, I was kind of glad to see their offense struggle again and lose to Wright State. So, and Texas losing will never not be funny to me. So, I got my burnt orange on, though. Hook 'em horns. Did you guys see where Schlossnagel said gig 'em at the end of his in-game interview on accident? Yeah. Whoops. On a related note, Greg Sankey needs to do something about ESPN Plus. The app is atrocious. It is tough. What's the deal with O'Sullivan? How much time you got, buddy? Just obviously a very good baseball coach and a very disagreeable person. Vandy, Georgia, Oregon, Clemson, anyone I'm missing? What all other hosts are out? Texas in trouble. Texas is done. They are done. Let's see. See if I can get score results for you. Bleacher Report. I can't believe Bleacher Report's still a thing. No, if I mean, I just forgot that it existed, but they've got a link to the bracket if you want it. All right, D1 baseball. That's where I'd actually want to go. It is late. Forgive me, guys. I am exhausted, but I'm happy to be here with you. Okay. So Oregon out. LSU now has to get beat twice, but they are losing in the eighth. Oregon State in control in their regional. UCLA in control in theirs. Tennessee could lose tomorrow, but they're not done yet. Georgia out, as you mentioned. Florida State through. Coastal through. Auburn through. Arkansas through. I guess UCLA through. North Carolina, Oklahoma will play a winner-take-all tomorrow, as will Southern Miss and Miami. And I think that's all of them. So there you go. Have not seen a time yet. I'm scrolling Twitter. The second I see that announced, I will, of course, tell you guys about it. But most of you are probably also on Twitter as well. So y'all let me know if you see it before I do, though. Was unaware that Texas got eliminated. Yep, they did. Umpire in the state. Florida State game should never umpire again. Yeah, he let his ego get in the way. It was pathetic. Hope the delay in announcing a start time doesn't hurt the crowd turnout. I have a feeling if you're going tomorrow, you're going regardless of the outcome. If anything, the night game would just bring more people, but I mean, I've seen a Monday afternoon regional that was still packed. So it'll still be a pretty awesome environment. So shout out to Matt Parenteau, who pitched today for Murray State, was on the title team. Yeah. College baseball does good numbers on TV during the playoffs. That's been proven. Not as good as you think. Not as good as you think. They're getting better. They are getting better. But softball, in the past, with few exceptions, although exceptions do exist, has beaten the baseball World Series rather consistently. Oh, what was the fuss about O'Sullivan today? He apparently took exception to their game being delayed an hour and decided to verbally accost, is that the word? Hope that's not a bad word. The two on-site NCAA administrators, the associate AD at Coastal Carolina, as well as the grounds crew. So, yeah, really good stuff. Really good stuff from him. I have not yet seen, I'm just kind of holding out here, guys, until we see a quote from Bianco about what his pitching plans are tomorrow. And now that I'm holding out for that and keeping you guys up past 11:30 now, he's not going to, he's going to waffle and say that we'll find out tomorrow or something like that. So just kind of refreshing here until we get something. ESPN Plus is a terrible streaming option. You know what's crazy? It's the best one, though. That like mass airs sports. The game at 5? Really? 5 o'clock tomorrow. Okay. Shoot. That's like the worst possible time for radio show plus me trying to get my kid to bed. That is the worst possible time. It really does not get worse for me than that. But, okay, 5 o'clock tomorrow. So what we'll do is we'll go live at 8 or just after 8. It'll have to be regular time tomorrow. So I guess I could keep him up and he could sit back here and hang out with me, but I don't know if he'd be quiet anymore. I think he'd want to be involved. I don't know. We'll see. But most likely it'll be after 8 o'clock tomorrow, regardless of result of course. So 5 o'clock, I guess, is better for drawing a crowd than 1 o'clock because people can work a half day or locals can work even a full day and still go. So that's a good thing. Where are you guys seeing that, by the way, though, just so I know and I can share it as well. But I trust you guys. If Ole Miss wins, they play Duke and Oxford. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Duke dispatched Georgia, and Georgia wearing those the jerseys where they button them all the way down to their stomach kind of deserved that. Okay, DK said it. Perfect. So you guys got the radio broadcast on. And if Kellum said it, then that's when they're starting tomorrow. Really, really good stuff. Now, all we need, guys, is the other thing. So we got the start time. Now all we need is a pitching decision, and then we can go to bed. But in the meantime, we're just going to sit here and wait until we get a quote from Mike Bianco and just continue to just kind of ramble until then. But really impressive day. How about the back-to-back-to-back, by the way? Was it Smithwick? I think it was Smithwick, right, that had a chance? Yeah, because it was Furness, Uttermark, and Humphrey. That first swing from Smithwick, and they showed the side angle. Kudos to the broadcast for showing the Ole Miss dugout when he swung. They wanted the back-to-back-to-back-to-back, which would have been absolutely insane. Also, the beer showers. Force them to put their beers back in cups. They're not as powerful anymore. I mean, it looked like they were rowdy and having a good time out there, but it used to be a wall of beer, and now it's just like whatever comes out of your can because they're shaking their cans. Make them put them back in cups. I don't know why they went away from that decision anyway, but make them put them back in cups. So, all right, there's the official announcement from Ole Miss anyway, 5 o'clock. So there you go. Ole Miss used 9 pitchers today, Murray State 7. How about that? There's your stat of the day. Stat of the day, bop, bop. That is, that's a big one. And, you know, Ole Miss used Landon Waters, which I don't know if they would use him in any kind of high leverage situation tomorrow. But, I mean, he threw an inning and a third, right? So, I mean, they could. I know he wasn't good today, but Townsend can absolutely pitch for them tomorrow. Although, again, he threw 43 pitches and wasn't really effective, but still. Yeah. Is Bianco not even talking yet? Oh, here we go. Okay, finally. We're getting some announcements. Still have not seen anybody ask him about pitching plans tomorrow. Okay. Has not announced and will not announce. He has not decided yet who will start tomorrow. So there you go. Spencer threw 11 pitches, but that was his third day in a row, is my only question about his availability tomorrow, as he did pitch 3 days in a row. But it's an all-hands-on-deck situation, right? I mean, if he's got any gas in the tank, he's probably got to throw at least a little bit. So there it is, though. Have not decided who they're going to pitch tomorrow. I still think you're going to see Mason Morris first. At least that's what I would do. So in the meantime, we'll go ahead and hang it up. You guys rest up as best you can, because another long day is incoming tomorrow. But I really appreciate you and really glad you guys are here. We'll just plan on going live after 8 o'clock tomorrow. It'll have to just be a regular day here in our house. But so we'll go live, not immediately after the game, but right around then to recap whatever happens tomorrow, good, bad, or anything in between. So thank you guys for being here. Really, really appreciate you. Don't forget to subscribe if you're new. We go live a few times a week, although the summer's coming up, so that we may not do 3 days a week like, you know, in the month of June. We might take a few weeks off and just do recorded videos. But in the meantime, don't forget to subscribe. I'll see you guys tomorrow after the game. Enjoy your night. Enjoy the win. I'll talk to you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.